Good afternoon. I couldn't remember what Teb said, so that's... What do you say when you get up at night?
Good evening.
That's... Okay. Well, I've got my own wording anyway. Welcome everybody to the summer series. I think Carl started it off last time, so I'm second in rotation. We've still got a couple more to go. And I won't call names from pulpits, but I don't know what it's going to take to coerce them into it, but we'll be talking to you. I spent half the afternoon looking through the qualifications for elders. And nowhere could I find a qualification to preach. There's teaching. The word is T. So before I dig my hole any deeper, I'll be up any night till midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting on your back porch, looking at the stars, discussing anything you want to discuss. But this isn't where I belong. The first thing you have to do to preach is decide what you're going to preach on. And nothing really came to mind. So, beginning of the week, I had a preacher friend who gave me a bookmark from Thomas Merton. Okay, Mike, put it up. And it's kind of the 23rd Psalm backwards. At least I'll look at it, but it's something to think about. This guy's kind of a contemporary with C.S. Lewis, his writings and everything. He did a lot of solitude work in monasteries. So his writing's a little different. So I'll just go through and read this to start with. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following yours does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have the desire in that all I am doing, I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. With the events of the last week, month, however far you want to go back, this kind of hit me as where we are today. In the church, as a world, there's beheadings, murders, everything else that's happened this week. You know, I think with us, I think we know where we're going. We may not necessarily know the right, we may not know the road we're going to end up on to get there. Okay, Mike, put the first part back up. I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. You know, as we wind our way, there's always that curve on the road that comes up unexpectedly. Hopefully there's not ice on the road and we can keep control. But there's a lot of times there's no way to plan for it. We complain about the ice in the winter here. We lived in Denver. We'd have the hailstorms. And you haven't lived until you tried to drive on 6 inches of hail. You would go sideways, forward, backwards, whichever way the road slopes, and the hail is packed on it. Wonder what David thought with his problems with Bathsheba. You know, did he trust God, or did he try to get out of it on his own merits? And look where his own merits got him. Nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think I am following you does not mean that I'm actually doing so. How many of us think we know the Bible? Are we going to get to heaven on how much of the Bible we know? Are we going to get to heaven on how godly we are? How much like God are we, is the question. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And again, why was David a man of God's own heart? You know, I think David wanted to please God in his actions. And I hope I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. That kind of hits home. I mean, you've had things happen to you that resulted with you not knowing. Prime example, you got a bill due and you don't have the money to pay it. And all of a sudden you get that rebate check from the telephone company that just covers it. Is that God leading us by the right road? Or is that just happening? Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear. For if you are ever with me, you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Again, over the last, say, year, 2 years, you know, how many deaths has this church faced? Now, God's not left us alone. He's here, seen us through all of it, and He will always continue to be. Or one of our members here talking about a church family and said she'd always heard that term, but really didn't know what it meant until she started coming here. We have each other. That's what it's all about. The way I look at it, earth is a proving ground. Now, how many of us are capable of living a perfect life here? None of us. How many of us are capable of learning what a perfect life would be? What kind of life are we going to live in heaven? You know, we're going to know what to expect once we get to heaven, whether we are capable of living that here on earth or not. Okay, Mike, put up the... maybe a long reading. We'll see where I am after that. I'm going to read 1 John, starting with chapter 1 and going to chapter 2, verse 17. that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest in us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, and you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. I can't do that. I'm trying to read this, and my version isn't the same. So let me go back. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. We claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, is not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the true cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father but from the Word. But the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. That's our defense against the world today, is each other. So that love we show for each other is the love of God living within each one of us. If we can be of service to you in any way tonight, come forward. Where's Rob?